Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. We want to welcome each of you here this morning and want to extend a very special welcome to those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you indeed do feel welcome here at Main Street. If you're a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street as a possibility for that home. And if you'll give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. A reminder that we begin our three nights of faith sharing and music tonight at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. We will have a different individual speaking to us each night. It will not be a sermon. They will not be preaching to us, but they are here simply to share the story of their faith journey. So please join us beginning tonight at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall for our three nights of faith sharing and music. Also, our Wednesday night gatherings will continue this Wednesday night. Meal at 5:15. The program's beginning at 6 o'clock. Again, you have two programs to choose from. There are two book studies. So if you plan to attend the meal, please contact the church office and make reservations or fill out one of the reservation cards in the pew rack. Also, our Missions Bazaar, which is scheduled for September and November the 1st, to be held in the Fellowship Hall from 9 o'clock until 1 o'clock. If you are an individual or a group that would like to rent a table to sell goods during that mission fair, the tables are $35 apiece. The cost for the tables, all of that money goes toward mission projects. Anything you sell at your table will be used for whatever your needs are there. Again, contact the church office if you would like to rent a table for that bazaar. Also, a reminder to please fill out the wellness program surveys, which you'll find in your bulletins this morning, and to sign up for Project Warm, which will be held on January the 2nd and 3rd as we help individuals within our community winterize their homes for the winter. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Let's please stand for the call to worship. Come to Christ, that living stone, rejected by the world, but in God's sight, chosen and precious. We have responded to Christ's call and seek to be built into a spiritual house, a living reminder of God's presence on earth. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people, called out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. Therefore, we sing with the church in all ages. Blessed be your name, O God, our Redeemer. By your mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Please be seated. I invite you to join us in the invocation. We marvel, O God, at the thought that you care about us. We are amazed that the Creator of the universe would take on human flesh to draw near to us in ways we could begin to understand. As Jesus emptied himself to serve, modeling your love even in the face of death, we seek in these moments to lay aside self-interest that we might take direction from you. Help us to humble ourselves in order to obey you, to listen in order to hear, to care in order to serve. Lead us today and night through the dangers of the wilderness of our times. Lead us in these moments to honest and fervent worship. Amen. I'd like to call forth Kathy Kelly for acolyte and crucifer recognition.
Good morning. Our acolytes and crucifers have been trained, and I would like to ask those who are continuing to worship to come up here and join me behind the chancel rail. Julia Baker, Joe Hartung, Taylor Johnson, Jay Logan, Skylar McGinnis, and Leanne Punt. I would also like to ask the new acolytes to come forward as I call your name and stand before the returning acolytes. Keaton Alexander, Claudia Grace McManus, Marissa Rogers, and Hampton Warner. Stand on the other side of Hampton. Our adult volunteers that meet the acolytes and crucifers each Sunday are Mary Alexander, Angie Baker, Cindy Logan, Joe Patterson, Carrie Punt, Skippy Rice, and Allie Williams. And I'd like for them to come join us down here if they would, so that you can see who is the workers behind each Sunday to get them ready. And at this time, I would like the returning acolytes, a couple of you may have to share, to present the new acolytes with a wooden cross that you will wear each week when you serve. All right. Thank you. I would like for you to stay up here while we recognize our crucifers. Our returning crucifers are Josie Adams, Rakeem Childs, Carly Rogers, Haley Rogers, and Heron Warner. If they would come join me up here, please. Rakeem, come around. And we have two new crucifers, Bob Bennett, who is serving today, and Sam Rice. Okay, and at this time, you two can put the cross that we're giving Bob to wear when he serves. And we appreciate that. Thank you to all of you who have agreed to serve Main Street for this coming year. Thanks.
Old Testament reading this morning comes from the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
for our epistle reading this morning, I invite you to turn in your hymnal to number 167. We will be using the Canticle of Christ's Obedience as our epistle reading. As you turn there, you will notice that this looks very similar to a Psalter. And as a matter of fact, there is very little difference between a canticle and a Psalter, except that a Psalter is always a psalm. A canticle is anything other than a psalm. The text this morning comes from the second chapter of Philippians, verses 5 through 11. We will be using response number 2 as the sung response, and you will hear that response played by Joyce now.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped.
But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in our likeness.
And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross.
Therefore God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name.
That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth.
And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
At the name of Jesus every knee.
If you would like to come forward for a personal time of prayer during the pastoral prayer, please come forward now as I lift up our special concerns. Judy Roberts is home recovering from some serious surgery on her neck, is doing well. We heard from her yesterday. Albert Gambrill, after having been ill for so many months, did pass away yesterday. We do not have information on his service yet. Billy Tunstall continues his treatments, and we have heard that things are progressing along well with him. Joe Hinton and family, we need to be in prayer for. Joe, of course, died last week and was buried yesterday. I ask you also to pray for our three-night sermon series. Revival is a name that's kind of fallen out of fashion, but it's nothing other than a revival. And we have three different speakers. If you come tonight and love her talk of passion on prison ministry and her interactive music, Rhonda Smith, then you'll maybe want more and come back the next night. Ronnie Jeffcoat will be bringing a different perspective in his choir, and come back the next night. And we will have David Barfield, a local hometown boy who came out of the South Main Church, is now planting a new church in Anderson. And our own Main Point praise band will be the music that night. Each night, 6:30, each night in the fellowship hall. But please come and bring your neighbors. These speakers will not be preaching at you, as so often happens, but they will be telling their own personal faith story and journey. They'll be brave enough to share that with you. I hope that you will honor that by coming. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord and guiding Spirit, in our journey of faith and our travel through time, we have grown and changed in so many ways. We give you praise for bodies and souls and minds which can grow and can heal. Our wisdom has cost us. Our misuse of freedom has cost us. Our faith has cost us. And yet our faith has given us more hope, more peace, and more wisdom than any other endeavor. Lord, continue to guide us as a church. Continue to guide us as families, as leaders, and as individuals. We have said yes to you. Now give us the power to live out that yes to others. For those who are anxious about the financial news, and for those who are on the edge with their bills and jobs and mortgages to pay, we do lift up our prayers. And for those who suffer under war and threat of constant violence, we do lift up our prayers. For those who suffer under corrupt and abusive regimes and suffer for their faith, we do pray. Lord, we do pray for our ministry here. In this sanctuary and in this building called Main Street, and also our ministry outside in the world, on the job, in the marketplace, in our schools, in our homes, and among our families and friends. Lord, help us deepen our understanding of faith as something we practice more than just one day a week, but every day and all the ways we live. Hear now the prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you, knowing they are heard. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear them, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build his kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come to the front for the children's message.
Come on down. Some of you don't know this little boy over here. That's my grandson, Eli. He's going to behave today, isn't he? I think so. His father is a Methodist pastor, too, so he's very comfortable in church. I have a question for everybody. Good to see such a good crowd of you. How many of you have chores? You have chores to do at home? Some of you have to take out trash. Raise your hand. You go take out trash? Okay, a few of you. Some of you have to maybe feed the pets. Right? Okay. Some of you have to maybe... We call the hamper the magic drawer. If you put your clothes in the magic drawer, it gets washed. And if you don't, it doesn't. Now, if you have chores to do, and you say, yes, Dad, yes, Mom, I'll do those chores, like there's a reading in the gospel today like that, if you say you're going to do it and you don't do it, let's say you say you're going to feed or give water to your pet and you don't, what happens? They could die. Are you going to have some very thin and thirsty dogs or lizards or cats or whatever you have? Very thirsty. And if... What? You do have lizards at your house. Yes, you do. Do you have to feed them? No. No. Okay. And if you say, yes, Dad, I'll take out the trash, but you don't take out the trash, what happens? It gets awful stinky around your house, right? So just saying you're going to do something, and if you don't do it, that's bad. And if you don't put your clothes in your magic drawer to get washed, you got to go to school wearing stinky clothes. That's bad, right? Okay, so bad things happen if you don't do what you say you're going to do, if you don't do your chores. In the reading today in Matthew, one son said yes, but he didn't do it. One son said, no, I'm not going to do my chores. But then he ended up doing it. And Jesus said, which one did the will of the Father? The one who said yes, but did nothing? And the one who said no, and then changed his mind and did it? Which one did the will of the Father? The second one, the one who did it. That's right. In our faith, we say we're going to love other people. We're going to forgive other people. We're going to be makers of peace. And we're going to be generous and compassionate with our resources and our talents. And we're going to serve God. We say we're going to do that. Our faith is actually doing it. What our faith is more than just saying, it's doing. It's both. So let's remember, we should be serious about what we believe and what we say and what we do. Everybody grab somebody's hand, even if it's a girl. At certain ages, you don't want to grab. It's our boys. I don't know what's wrong with this. Let's have a prayer. I'll hold your hand. Lord, we do thank you for the love you've given us in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the part that you've given us as your children to do, to spread his love to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 23. When he entered the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." And then the parable of the two sons. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later, he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I'm going to do something we don't normally do here. I'm going to be just a little bit interactive and give some of you a chance to brag. At a university graduation, the president rose to address the graduates and confer the degrees, and he began by explaining the meaning of the traditional Latin phrases used. He said, "If a student graduates cum laude, it means with honors." If you are a high school or a college graduate cum laude, you can raise your hand. Oh, come on, I know we have a few. Okay, there's a few. If a student graduates magna cum laude, it means with high honors. Go ahead. If he earned it, show it. Okay, we got one or two. If a student graduates summa cum laude, it means with supreme honors. You got any of those? I don't see a whole lot of movement out there. Well, then he said, "There's a new honor I plan to use in the future to be called magna cum pellidentium, and it means by the skin of your teeth." Now, the rest of you raise your hand. Everyone here today is enrolled in the school of faith. And there is a lot of school and teacher language in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that the law, and the essence of the law is the Ten Commandments, the law is a school teacher.
And it teaches all who take even the Ten Commandments seriously, when we try, that all have fallen far short of the glory of God. None is righteous, not one. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. Again, a teaching metaphor. But again, with the law as the schoolmaster and the Spirit as the teacher of truth, none of us finish this life with honors in faith. We all make it magna cum peladentium by the skin of our teeth, or better, by the grace of God alone. And as a public service announcement, I did it this morning and no one laughed. I thought it was funny. As a public service announcement, if your teeth have skin, it may be time for a cleaning. All of us have said, and we are here today because on some level, at some time, we have said yes to God eagerly at some point. It might have been at a revival, much like the sermon series that begins tonight in the fellowship hall at 6:30. I got it in again. Bring a friend. It may have been under a moment of stress and danger. You said yes to God, or you made promises in the middle of an exam in college, or while trying to make it home from a place that you should not have been, or while a loved one was dying. Or you might have said yes to God because other people were watching and everybody else was saying yes and you wanted to look good. Or you might have said yes to God in a moment when you were just too tired to fight anymore. And you say, okay, God, I'm yours. We have all said yes to God at some time in some way and said, I will follow. And then, sometime later, we stopped following. And if God is just a concept and the church is just a social club, then that doesn't make much difference. It's just a passing fancy. But if there is a God and the church is guided by that God and the kingdom of God is coming in through this church, no matter how imperfect God is using the church, then it matters when you say yes. And it matters what you do after you say yes. The two brothers in the short parable today are the yes brother and the no brother, but it isn't as simple as what they said. In this political season, as in all political seasons, I am reminded again that people can and will say anything. It matters a good deal more what they do. Because what people say is one thing and what they do is quite something else so often. One brother said, yes, I will go, Father. And I think we are safe to assume that the father in this parable is a thinly veiled stand-in for God. So he said, yes, Lord, I will go. But he did not do it. Just as many, many church folk have said yes to God more times than they can count and then just trailed off to nothing. And the other brother said, no way. No way. What you're asking me sounds way too hard. It sounds hot and tiresome. I'm not going to do it. But later on, he changed his mind. He repented of his no. And he went and he did what the Father asked him to do. And I want to set something clear here. Repent is not an I'm sorry word. It is not a feeling word at all. Repent is misunderstood. It means everywhere and always to change your mind, to change your direction, and to make a U-turn and go back the opposite way. In Christian terms, it means to turn your no to God into a yes. It means turning your headlong run away from God into a homeward bound sprint into God's embrace. So please don't get that funny old-fashioned feeling about the word repent. Some use it in ways that are just plain wrong. It never meant feeling sad. It never meant feeling sorry or guilty. It means and has always meant a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction. And Jesus' illustration shows true repentance in the son who said no, and then he changed his mind and he went and he did the Father's will. He repented. He turned around. And Jesus asked, which did the will of the Father? The one who said yes? No. Because afterwards he did nothing. It was the one who said no and changed his mind and went and did. The shortest possible point to carry home from this message about this scripture is it doesn't matter how many times you say the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer or come to the altar and give your heart to God in front of many witnesses. Those are all ways of saying yes publicly to God. But you were meant to soar on the wings of faith. And if instead of soaring on the wings of faith, you continually waddle home unchanged, then those public pronouncements aren't any good. It matters more what you do and what God does with you when you truly give yourself over to God, heart and mind and soul. Do you merely say a good faith, know the proper words inside and out, or do people look at you and look at your life and see something of Christ? Something of the glow of Christ and something of the love and the compassion of Christ in your behavior. Back then, Jesus was telling the story to point out that many folks were flocking to His preaching. They were flocking to the Word about the grace of God. And His preaching, the people who were coming were the public sinners, the crooked tax collectors, the prostitutes, the pagans, the criminals. And their behavior had beforehand said no to God. But when they heard the gospel, they gladly welcomed it and they responded to it. And it changed them. It changed their minds. It changed their hearts and their souls and their behavior. He was apparently in this story aiming at the son who said yes. And he was aiming at the scribes and the priests and the Pharisees. They were like most of us. And we don't think of ourselves as by the skin of our teeth kind of folks in faith. We think, why, I've always been here. I've never wandered very far. We say yes all the time. But when it comes to a moment of repentance, a moment we can point to, a change of heart and mind and soul that other people noticed and saw, well, we don't know what you mean. What could possibly need changing about my life? We said yes a long time ago. Now leave me alone. Bug off. I'm loving and compassionate and forgiving already. Now leave me alone. I've been in church all my life. And I'll start coming again as soon as we get a new choir director. Our new preacher. Our new program person. Our new youth director. I'll run my faith my way. What do you mean? Repent. Change. I'm fine. But I know a lot of other people who need to change. See, change is for other people. I'm done. I'm good. Thank you very much. That's a problem. Jesus was aiming for those who publicly said yes, but didn't go and do. Sometimes that's us. Being fuzzy on faith and repentance steals our potential for growth and change. You see, the real sinners in Jesus' day, they got that they needed changing. The self-righteous folks in Jesus' day did not get it. They just didn't get it. Repentance is something that reverses our priorities. It upsets our accustomed sense of values. It turns us inside out. It releases us from the shackles of our systems of security and it hangs us on the thin thread of the grace of God. We no longer see ourselves as worthy, but we see God as magnificently graceful instead. The gospel truth is that genuine repentance means much more than changing one's mind or feeling sorry for your sins or telling God, I'm on your side again. Fruit bearing in our life is a sign of repentance in biblical language. The evidence of repentance is found in the fruit that shows itself in our lives. It means positive action, something that enhances our life and, most importantly, the lives of others around us. If our faith doesn't give something positive to the people around us, what good is it? According to an old story, two friends from boyhood were sitting together in a diner drinking coffee. And one said to the other, said, why is it you never got married? And he said, well, to tell you the truth, I spent my whole life looking for the perfect woman. And in San Francisco, when I lived there, I met a beautiful, intelligent woman with dark olive eyes, but she was unkind. And in Montreal, when I lived there, I met a woman who was very kindly and beautiful, but we had no common interest. And over the years, I met one woman after another who just wasn't exactly right. There was always something missing. And one day I met her. She was intelligent. She was generous. She was kind. We had everything in common. She was perfect. And the friend was puzzled. What happened? Why didn't you marry her? He replied, sad to say, it seems she was looking for the perfect man. None of us are perfect. And even biblical call to repentance is not going to make us go from zero to perfection in one day. But we notice that the biblical call to repentance, to turning back to God, is consistent and constant. The call to repentance is unrelenting because none of us are perfect. Neither the perfect man nor perfect woman has ever entered this church. If you are here today and you are perfect, you're in the wrong church. Neither the perfect friend nor the perfect neighbor has ever entered this church, or the perfect pastor, or preacher, or choir director, or youth director, or program person. None of us are perfect. There are none who have no need to turn back to God. And none of us can live up to our God-given potential to enrich our lives and the lives of others around us unless we are willing to say, okay, God, here I am. Take me. Remake me. Help me. Know and do your will. I'm convinced that many of us have been saying the words for years, and deep down we would love to do more than just say the words. We believe, and we've sometimes seen in others and maybe even in ourselves moments of that glow and that positive change that we would like to have and like to be consistently. We just dwindle and we get distracted and we turn away. We come every Sunday hoping that something the preacher says or something in the hymns or something in the prayer or something in the Psalter will touch us. But then again, the words, we get tired of the words. We say, Lord, I need you to change my mind. Yes, we do need to give ourselves over and let God change our mind. We get tired of hearing of the sweet release of forgiveness because we know in our hearts there's some part of us that has hung on to so many hurts and still keeps hurting. We want to change our mind rather because we won't let go completely and let God change our heart and mind and soul. If this story has one point, it is that it doesn't matter what you say. It matters what you do afterwards. You can say no to God with all your life and then later on turn, repent, and give yourself to God. And God will embrace you and will change you and make you an agent of grace, love, and compassion for others. Or you can scream yes in front of an entire congregation and later on do nothing at all and remain just as you were before. Your yes and your no are not to me and not to this gathering, are not on these revival nights. They will not be to the gathering or to the pastor who preaches. Your yes and your no are to God, the one who is. And it matters what you say and what you do. Saying yes is sometimes for people to see, and that's it. I'm afraid sometimes it's just for people to see. Go and do, and God will give you what you need to change and accomplish things in your heart, in your life, and in the lives of others you never thought possible. In fact, God, when you give yourself over for real, will enable you to do things which are quite impossible on your own. Try and see. Just try and see. Faith is much more than what you say. God's power to change awaits your decision to repent, to change your mind about faith. There are places to go and there are things to do and there are people to forgive. There are. There are hurts to heal and there is peace to make and there are talents and treasure to offer up. God's power to change awaits your decision to repent and change your mind and accept God's offer to come home. I'm going to close with a story from Robert Fulghum. I think it's the same man who wrote Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. He writes another story. He wrote another funny book, and he said, the bed was on fire when I laid down on it. That's another story, though. Robert Fulghum tells a story about a young woman that he met in the Hong Kong airport, and he could tell just by looking at the young woman that she was on her way home, and she looked sort of exhausted, but then he looked again, and she was crying. And her tears turned to sobs and near hysteria, and he went over to offer some assistance. And at first he thought, well, maybe she's just homesick, or maybe she just broke up with her boyfriend or husband, or maybe just a regret that her trip is over. And all of these could have been true, but when he went and he heard her story, it took his handkerchief and her handkerchief and an entire box of Kleenex to dry up their tears. You see, her plane was about to leave, and she didn't have any money in Hong Kong, she didn't have any friends, and she didn't have any way home because she had lost her ticket. She had been sitting there for 3 hours in the airport. This is a true story, he says. And she was certain that she was going to have to sit in that airport the rest of her life. She didn't have any way home. And finally, he helped dry her tears just a little. And he said, okay, let's get some lunch. And I will try to find an airline official and see if there's something that can be done. He offered her some hope. And she got up from her seat and turned to get her belongings. And all of a sudden, she screamed. He thought she'd been shot or something, but wondered what else has she lost. But no, she screamed because as she got up and turned around, she saw her ticket. For 3 hours, she had been sitting on her ticket. A hug, a kiss, a smile, a laugh, no more tears, and she was gone, off to catch her plane. She had her ticket. Sometimes, folks, we've been in church week after week after week. We've been sitting on our own tickets. Our ticket to life, to abundant life. Our ticket through difficulties. We have said yes to God. I encourage you to turn to God fully and completely and to live out that yes. And to pray to God, give me the strength by your Spirit to truly live out that yes. To follow through on this faith that I have claimed and to come into God's embrace to be at home, to get home with God. Amen. Did I mention we have a special service tonight at 6:30? I think so. Please be there if you can. Receive this blessing, this benediction. Be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And also the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, even in this moment, to guide us and to deepen and to grow us in faith. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.